Claro que me arrepiento.
Prevenido a todo el mundo, venga, que no vamos a ir a publicidad. Atenta, Maya.
No, es que en realidad no era esa la pregunta que le quería hacer.
Usted dirá.
¿Quién es usted?
Lo siento, pero no entiendo la pregunta.
Sí, sí, la entiendo.
Ven aquí a mi vera. ¿Quién me llama?
Ana, por favor.
¿Y tú?
Gracias.
Bueno, joder.
La otra vez nos pusieron.
Bien, pues, si os parece, empezamos.
Okay, let's commence. Thank you very much. Good morning, as I was saying. Welcome to the press conference of the film The Realm in the official section of the 66th San Sebastian International Film Festival. And to talk about it, as you can see, we have most of its cast and crew. Let me start from the end. Actors Nacho Ferneda, Luis Faera, and Ana Wagner, Isabel Piña, the co-scriptwriter, Soye Goyen, who's the co-scriptwriter of the film, and more actors, Jose Maria Paul, Gerardo Manero, and Mercedes Marrero, who are the producers of the films. I'm being asked, questions are already, people are putting their hand up, so second row. Yes, hi. My question for the director and for the two script writers, I would like to know, ask you about, it's quite obvious, but the relationship with UpToDate, but there's no specific, we're always thinking about PP with the political party, the popular party here in Spain, but I don't know whether you made the decision or not use those letters or that logo. Does that mean that we're all corrupt, or it's very difficult to make a film mentioning specific due to box office issues, production or financing issues? In this case, I think it was legal financing. I imagine you legally financed the film and it wasn't corrupt money. Okay, well, hi, good morning, good afternoon. Well, it was a decision that we took early on, the truth be said, and every time that I think about the reason why, that question has been asked to us quite a few times. I come to the same conclusion at the end of the day, I think, and that's it would have been a bit unfair, dishonest, and not right to only talk about one single party, political party, that is to say. We preferred to not to show who they were. We wanted to talk about the corruption of the system, human corruption, which at the end of the day, what we want to talk about. We could have done that perfectly. We could have talked about the Partido Popular, that has had its corruption scandals, obviously, as we know, but it would have turned about a film, it would have been a film about the Partido Popular, and I'm not sure whether it was a mistake, but that's not the film that we wanted to, the story we wanted to tell. Obviously, you might say its writing would have been a bit more difficult, but the truth is, our intention was not to talk about a political party, but to talk about the people in those political parties. Maria, you've got to be grateful for the film festival and the actors. Could you please, Barbara, whether you spoke to Ana Pastor with Ferreras and whether it's possible to arrive at a TV program with all of those ledgers in your hand? And Antonio, of course, who did you talk to? What did you see? How did you prepare yourself to portray this role who's running, is escaping everything? And practically all of you who played a marvelous roles. The director.
La política.
Do you believe that Spanish politics is corrupt from the top to the bottom? IBEX, the media. That is, what's your line of thought vis-a-vis the level of corruption that exists in this country? Will I answer first? Yes, please. Well, to answer that question now, I wouldn't. I think the answer is the film itself. I don't need to answer you. If you ask me whether the entire political system in this country is corrupt, well, that would be a bit generalizing and unfair, and the truth is, I don't believe so. I think it's a system which is quite damaged and quite easy for corruption to take place, but nevertheless, that's why we made the film. I don't think it's populated that every politician, because they're a politician, they're corrupt. No, not at all. Of course not. Well, the question, it's a tough one, because I got together with people in the world of politics, some who are active politicians and others not. Some have stopped being it, coinciding, or just after the shooting of the film. Or they stopped being it after we shot the film. No, that was a joke. No, I don't want to tell, I want to make it funny, but it was just on the, I'll probably get into trouble with what I'm going to say. There are people who are in legal proceedings at present, politicians, that is to say, and obviously, I just want to thank these people in the sense that they shed some light upon the film in a very involuntary way. Some of them read the script, some others didn't, others without being aware. The truth is, and this is something that I learned many years ago as an actor, that an actor's job is to understand, not to judge. That's one of the reasons why I like my job and what I do. That's made it easy for Adri, Isabel and I, who met with this person, to the extent that it's a story at the end of the day. But I think that the films that talk about the world we live in are worthwhile making. And this is a feeling that we all had with Ruth, Isabel, and with all the cast and crew and the producers. We gave it a dimension, a real dimension, shall we say, a true dimension, using the words like, for example, the plumber, this, that, and the other. There are many things in the scripts was as a result of the contribution of these people, and many things, especially of ideologies. I think it was very important, and this is what I told Rui when I got into the project. I said, hey, be careful with this might be happening, this might happen, of making a film that seems that we're indicating a specific political party or we're being the bad guys. No, we're a sector that have been ideologically labeled, and I think we had to go much further on. I think it would be a great mistake to place this, to give an ideological position to the film. I think we should make a film about people in this sector who are involved in this in politics. And for me, and that's what I've tried to do as an actor, I would need a long time to explain things. I don't want to take too much time, though. But it's a reflection of a society. That's what I believe. The people said, I'm not interested in politics. When you walk out in the street is made by the footpath is made by public money, used by public money. When you go to the hospital, the 21st century, everything we do is politics. Politics doesn't just appear out of the blue. What happens to politics, it affects us. And as adults, we've got the possibility of and just point at someone or undertake the responsibility and do something. Humbly, quite humbly, I don't know, or unhumbly, inhumbly, we've tried to tell the story to change things. The truth, I want to insist upon, the realm is not the portrait of a political party. It's a portrait of the society through a politician who is corrupt or becomes corrupt. What you were asking about Ana Pastor, the journalist, yes. Yes, I got together with her. I met with her. She was very generous with me. She wanted to have lunch. Rodrigo set up the lunch, and it was very useful because the fact that at no time we didn't want to imitate Ana Pastor. This is a creation, but I understand that the most immediate reference is Ana Pastor because she's the journalist with a prime time vis-a-vis this country's political reality. But what I most drew, or what most interested me about that lunch, was to be able to see it in a place, in privately, not in front of a camera, and how she handled herself there, more than the opinions on whether that was realistic or not. It had to do with trying to understand her energy, the way she communicated herself, of how she seduces people by using her mind, and that's what we focused on. And apart from her, I've got friends, men and women who are journalists, perhaps not as public as her, but it's a world that interests me and surrounds me. People around me. Well, in my case, I didn't meet with anyone. Neither with Susanna nor Cospedal or anyone. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a hoarse voice this morning. But I think that the source of inspiration is in the street. It's in the news programs on TV. It's on the web. It's on the internet, in the news, in the press. I think there's a lot of significant material. In this case, it's a script. It's a screenplay, which is very well constructed. And it tells an anecdote of a political setting, and I have to play, it could be universal, I play a role with a woman who's has got a lot of personality, has got a lot of power, and obviously I inspire myself upon all of the political landscape that I have, men and women, that to give this Asunción Ceballos, my personality, my soul, and the way I look at things, but obviously without judging her and playing the role that you have. So therefore, there's something quite morbid in the country. This film that attracted me, we're normally used to seeing a politician when they appear on TV, giving a press conference. But what happens when these people close a door and they're on their own? I don't know. This was part of our fantasy that we worked with this when we worked with Antonio. In fact, Ceballos has the opportunity in her journey in the film to close a door and get together, in this case, with Antonio's character. This forms part of your own fantasy, really, of how can you reincarnate this? And I think an actor has to have that part of creativity, because obviously a different thing would be whether we were playing the role of the life of a certain, like a biopic, for example, then we would try to imitate and recreate a certain personality. But in this case, I think this film has that beauty, shall we say, and the imagination of each and every one that we've given and interpreted and portrayed in our characters. Beyond the political background or backdrop, a person that gets left on his own when things go bad, poorly, when you're up top, everyone accompanies you, but when you're right down to the bottom in the doldrums, everyone abandons you, just like real life. In the case of Cabrera, I don't think this is funny at all. In the case of Cabrera, well, he doesn't form part of the political apparatus. It's a curious word, apparatus. A piece of the apparatus, Antonio, breaks down. He's replaced by another part or a piece. And Cabrera is that percentage of that famous sentence by Maragall. You say, you've got a problem of a 3% problem. I'm that 3% to solve that problem. So if you've got a very well-constructed screenplay such as this, well, if you know everything flows, if you know how to handle things, then that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
No, bueno, yo en mi caso...
Well, in my case, unfortunately, current affairs and society is full of examples. Unfortunately, I say, because it'd be great if it were less. But when I talked to Antonio a lot, Antonio told me everything that they talked about with those politicians, and some of the readings that that Rodrigo proposed to us. So therefore, I tried to find the corrupt person I have within me, and that was my objective. If you'll allow me, I didn't need to talk to any political leader nor anyone from any political party. Among other things, I think they wouldn't have time to have got other things to do. They wouldn't have taken notice of me. And we actors work with something which is fundamental, which is our capacity to imagine and our world of fantasy. And with the data that we've got in our hands, and as a citizen, obviously, in the last few years, one has seen so many recordings. You have so many images of speeches and statements and all the great father figures of the political parties, that it wasn't necessary to talk to them. What was it necessary to make believable what marvelously was written by the scriptwriters in the screenplay? There's something that I love about the film, and I think I would say that's the thing I like most, and one of the fundamental values of the film. The film obviously talks about our society, it talks about our values, it talks about our political class, about the different types of politics, and fundamentally it speaks, and as Anna explained very well, of that thing that quite often citizens don't understand, which is the back office of politics. What happens when the microphones are switched off, when they leave and they close the office door, and what do they say between each other? How do they fight? How do they spit at each other? How do they hug each other and kiss each other? That's the best portrait of the film, or what the film wanted to portray. The back office of the politicians that we citizens don't have access to quite often. And there's something else that I believe also can be emanate from the film, which is very important. I think the film shows an important portrait, time will go by, I'm not to say sure in history, of a certain type of current political class, as in the last few years they've come into politics, a generation or generations of politicians who perhaps their greatest interests weren't the normal public service of politics of the collective good, but it was a path to achieve a personal career. People that in a professional career didn't have too many possibilities. We've got thousands of examples of many people in the world of the political party, especially with the party and closed lists of political parties, where you don't have to be anyone bright, but you form part of a team and then you move around in the political party. The film shows what kind of people make up those families of the political parties. That is, what mediocre people, how we vote to a lot of mediocre people, which we don't know who they are because they're in a full pack and in a list of politicians. So therefore, that's well portrayed. If the film makes us aware that perhaps the electoral system should change so that someone can personally win their vote and show how valuable they are, and to get lost in the great family of the political party, which is a group like this that you can see in the film, that more it looks at sometimes a group of adolescents or teenagers of a high school than a group of people who are responsible for a country.
Tenemos allí.
There's a high question to the left for Rodrigo, whoever wants to pick up the glove. You're talking about the political class, but there's a scene where you see there's a client in the bar who gets poor change and he accepts it without complaining. With this, do you want to send a message as well that the political class is made up by people and that we can all end up at a given moment be like that, and the system is not only rotten in politics, but everything's rotten. It's a small scene, but it makes you think. And in that sense, whether you as people could you abstract yourself from that rotten situation, if you've never received an invoice without VAT on it? Well, no, two questions in one. Well, the first one, yes. To the first one, yes. You've explained it very well. And you've explained it very well. That means that in that scene, we were able to tell what we wanted to tell. It would be unfair and it wouldn't be right to believe, and this is probably one of the causes of how poorly the political class is going at present. We have nothing to do with them, and obviously we've got something to do with them. We said that previously in interviews. They live in our neighborhoods, and they're in our planet, albeit if they're in another planet, that would be absurd. And the second question is a joke. Is that a joke? The VAT question? I think that it's easy for us to be corrupt, and that's why corruption exists. It's easy for us to become corrupt.
Sí. No sé si a lo mejor Isabel como guionista.
Isabel, as a co-screenplay writer, would you like to add something? I think Rodrigo explained it very well. With the scene in the bar, the truth is it's a small scene, but it's quite representative. We didn't want to tell the fact that we are naturally corrupt, and not at all, because otherwise we'd be cynical and it'd be horrible for us. So what we wanted to tell is that the customer at the bar, as well as the politician throughout their lives, and I myself here, we confront our things in lives where we can decide, make a decision. And so it depends upon the power that you have. That decision will be more or less important. But that's the moment in which you define yourself as a person. If you tell the waiter that he's made a mistake, or whether you go home thinking, hey, my coffee was less, 5 euros less. Or the truth be said, the corrupt politician says, well, I'm going to accept this money in exchange of certain favors. So therefore, perhaps we're in time. We've got time to change, but the moment where that's where you decide which side you're on at the end of the day. Hi. My question, above all, for the director and the screenplay writers. I was seeing the film and I realized there's a lot of information that's not provided vis-a-vis context because it's not necessary because we've been seeing in the news for many years. So therefore, I thought, when you made the film, is it directed exclusively to the Spanish audience or do you think it could be perfectly well understood by a foreigner because they've got their own type of corruption in their country or whatever? Well, when we make a film, we don't think about the foreign audience. Maybe that's a mistake. We saw the film in Toronto 2 weeks ago, and the truth is they understood it perfectly well. And it's quite clear corruption arises anywhere, and at the end of the day, they probably wouldn't understand some of the little nuances. For example, the money a gambler, for example, but it's important, for example, the money grabber, that it's very important. Any audience can understand it. In Toronto, we experienced that. That was the case. People understood. And the Canadians said there was corruption there and they talked about it. And there were also North Americans who said the same thing. They understood it perfectly well outside the little nuances that they didn't know any references vis-a-vis our own country. In the film, that is. Microphone, yeah. Barbara says, I should tell something. We've got a problem with China because the Chinese distributors didn't like the allusions that we make to the Chinese. So we've got a problem vis-a-vis international sales, which is quite dangerous nowadays. So we're thinking about changing, make them Koreans and not Chinese, or turn them into Koreans. Yes. Hi. Congratulations for the film to all of you. I would like to ask you, what drew my attention as regards how it's been directed by the Rodrigo? I was quite nervous and quite anxious because the camera is always on, especially on the protagonist, Antonio de la Torre, but in general, of all of the characters, it's right in their face. It's all very close, even when there's general shots, but it's from the bottom and the buildings are seen from the bottom up. I felt very anxious throughout the entire time. I don't know where you were seeking this, or were you looking for it deliberately or not? And then at the end, did you think about it at the beginning? Was that because another thing that drew my attention as a spectator, and most of the film, I was in favor of the corrupt politician of Antonio de la Torre. All of a sudden, that ending comes along, and I say, well, Jesus, well, I'm an asshole. He's corrupt as well, so therefore, that ending, how did you construct the ending of the film, okay? Well, don't judge yourself that poorly, don't worry. Yes. The script or the screenplay is an escape, a frenetic escape where the protagonist doesn't want to stop and doesn't detain himself, and we started to shoot it. And to transfer those words, convey those words and put them on the screen. One asks oneself, how can make the spectator feel exactly what you felt? On the one hand, violence and how frenetic when he was pursued with the camera, that's what we wanted to be, right on his face, right on him all the time, to achieve that feeling that he's being... he's having a lot of problems. He's being hassled. I hope that's happened to other spectators that say that empathy, we want that empathy to be much more direct. That is it. Not empathy per se, but as you're accompanying him all the time, you end up being with him whether you want it or not. And there were several spectators that made the same remark. At the beginning, you go, this character, quote unquote, is a bad guy. You criticize him and you judge him when he appears in the news. But as You spend those 2 hours with him as he starts to lose everything, and you see him suffer. I think the interesting thing of the film, this is something that we thought about from the beginning. We knew it would be a challenge, and as a challenge, that excited us to achieve it. That is, to make sure the spectators say, well, I want you unconsciously to say, well, I hope he doesn't come out badly. And if at the end, and that 180 degree at the end, well, I think this is great. You're talking about the ending again. So if you're referring to a scene of the face-to-face with Barbara's character, that was from there from the beginning. But it's a scene that we moved around a lot because the dialogue is very difficult, and I would change plenty of things nowadays, but it was a scene which was deep, delicate, and we worked a lot upon and in depth from the beginning. We knew we wanted a face-to-face between our protagonist, his antagonist, shall we say, and it's a strange antagonist because beforehand you don't know who, you know her very little, but a priori she symbolizes what you defend. Well, that's what I think that a spectator and a citizen would defend. That is to say, turn this guy red and catch him at the end of the day. But that mirror and a duel where you don't know who you're in favor of, you know who you should go in favor of, but the film puts you into another position. That feeling, I think we were seeking that from the outset when we wrote the script. Congratulations, you've made a great film. I'd like for Nacho and Luis, talk about your roles, the most difficult and the easiest thing of your character. What's the part that was most difficult to portray and the easiest? This is something intimate, but in the first session, the first time I got in front of the camera, I was coming from another film which was much faster, and in the second scene, Alvaro said, no, we've got this now. I want you to imagine and have a good time and enjoy yourself. That was the first thing that shocked me. I said, we've got time here, which is great. So therefore, I think we've enjoyed ourselves enormously, suffering, preparing the choreography of the fight. I was like a child playing in the park. I can't tell you the trick. Well, obviously, I agree. Yes. Obviously, being very false, we can't tell them the tricks that we used. Well, I remember the scene on the balcony is great because he's being fooled, and then with Antonio. And in another film, I killed Antonio in the sea, and now he takes revenge and he laughs at me and makes me feel foolish. Well, obviously, if you've got a great screenplay, which is so well constructed to hold on to, well, it's easier. Thank you very much for these applauses. And a lot of fun. Well, I like that little part. Yeah, I got a little part of, yes, I had that fun in that little part. Hi, a question for Antonio and all of you who have talked to politicians who are involved with the politicians. Have you seen that they've repented, or do they still justify because they say that's the way the system works? And the second question for all of you, with the court trials recently in Spain, you have the feeling that something is changing in Spanish politics or not? I like the word involved. That could be the title for another film. Well, apart from very clear and clear-cut cases in general, everyone's got a reason for doing something. People in life, you don't see a guy who makes a lot of money and says, well, I make a lot of money. No, we're not that aware of how we are. I think, like Black Mirror, for example, we can measure the difference of who we believe we are and who we are in reality. To measure this, I wouldn't include me, but very few people would see themselves. The way we fool ourselves, the involved people, to a certain, I love the expression. One politician said, I didn't know that was against the law. The world is as it is, and that's what they believed in some of the cases, some of these politicians. Yeah, the system is as it is. And some other question that was asked, when I read the script, I thought that end sequence, I thought, this is well, this deserves just that last scene. It deserves making the film, and I like the subtlety of the sequence of the guy who pays at the bar and gets all the money back. And so these are Manuel López Vidal is one of our own, and I think that would be the heading or the headline that you could write. Manuel López Vidal is one of our own. That's what I could say. I'm not too sure you've got to add anything to that. Vote Manuel López for, give him a second chance. Vote Manuel López Vidal for Manuel López Vidal. Yes. But a government collapses due to corruption, towards the corruption sentence is good news, democratically speaking, to the sense that it's got to have consequences. The most adult thing I would say, addressing this, is that the things you do have consequences, and I think that a society, what they do has consequences, is an adult society, and that heals. And I'm convinced as well, I'm getting older maybe, perhaps, that changes, real changes, are much deeper and take generations. When I start to think about, I remember I asked him, I said, well, do you think corruption will end someday? And he said, well, you know what happens? When you've got the possibility to a person or another person to give him this, that, and the other way, it's a human factor. So perhaps I think then we manage to understand and see society as something global and not to think about my friend, my family, and whatever, and my surrounding, the people that surround me out there. When we understand that, corruption will be more easier to understand. But if I got my friend and I can give some money here and get something there, and yeah, give me some money, yeah. They're the subtle mechanisms of human relations, but I see, I wouldn't. Antonio de la Torre, I couldn't. But Manuel Vidal, López Vidal could form part of a political party. I would like to add, along the lines of what you're saying, I don't want to be the defender of anyone, but defending any position. We're convinced, and we know we live in a system which's got a lot of problems, full of corruption, specifically in the political class, as well as in many other places, but in the political class, it's more notorious because we talk about collective interests, public money, and so on. But I know, and I swear I know some politicians who are honest, and I swear I know a lot of politicians that get up in the morning at 6 a.m., with a genuine interest of struggling and to confront their own colleagues who are corrupt. And they are also sick and tired of what's happening, for example, in the last few weeks where they've turned the... It's like they're school kids throwing, like, complaining about the fact that someone hasn't passed a master's degree. And this makes this shame. Some of the people, the colleagues in the political parties, are shameful of what's going on in Congress. Because they're complaining because someone hasn't passed a university degree. Obviously, perhaps you've got to find it like Diogenes internally, but we can't generalize, I don't believe, vis-a-vis politicians. Sorry, I can't hear the question without a microphone. A thesis is not important. A thesis... I'm sorry, I can't hear the question without a microphone. The master's degrees and the thesis, the people that have not passed their master's degree, do you think that's important or not? Sorry, without a mic. So from what you've said about their complaining, do you think a master's degree is not important? No, I think a thesis, a master, and a university work, and demonstrating what's your knowledge and the way you prepare yourself, etc., is not, I believe it's important, but I think it should be demanded for anyone who's going to have responsibilities that affect us all. I completely agree. The higher the level of preparation and demonstrating your skills, and the more degrees you have, as long as they are well achieved, I think it's fantastic. I have nothing. How can I think that? Because that would bother me, that kind of question. You might think that I don't think it's important to have a master's degree. Of course. But what I'm saying is, well, the problem, the final problem to focus upon this, it has nothing to do with the film, so perhaps we should stop here, but to focus on the last thing that the current politicians is, all of a sudden, if there was a survey made now, how many Spanish citizens know what the word master's degree means or what a university thesis means? Or do you know what it's for? These are not the problems that the Spaniards have that should be solved by the politicians now. What the master's degree and a university thesis, I think it's very important for a fundamental thing that I think is sacred, to know whether that politician, the person who says that's got something that's a lie and they don't have it at the end of the day, is lying. That's the great advantage, the great research or investigation, the great issue behind all of the master's degrees, to try to discover those that are, who are lying. And if you know this, if you manage to discover someone who's got a series of university degrees that they don't have, obviously you lose respect and confidence in that and trust in that person. They can't represent you. And in this case, the operation of discovering people who lie, people who fool other people, this is, should be done 24 hours a day in politics. What I'm saying is that we're wasting time, and they're putting us off, hiding many other things behind that war of master's degrees. That's my personal opinion. Another question here. Hi. Congratulations, first of all, for the film, the questions, for the screenplay writer, Isabel, as well as Rodrigo. About the final scene, it seemed like the conversation is very interesting, spectacular, but I personally had the question, I had the doubt, and I think it's important whether at the end those files and ledger books come out into the public light or not, whether that's the interpretation of the audience to know whether they are seen by the people or not, or why wasn't the solution of this case included? If the files or the ledger books are shown to the public or in the press, and wasn't that shown in the film? I think there's a moment in which that's the least important issue. I think the battle between Amaya Marin and Manuel López Vidal, I think it goes transcends, shall we say, whether the ledger books are going to be made public. I think Amaya is going to end up putting them out, making them public, I think. Hi, good morning. Excuse me, because we've talked in the past, but there was a question for Isabel and Rodrigo. Why the realm? The title can be read differently. El Reino, literally translated in Spanish, is the kingdom, but it's called, the film's called The Realm. Why did you use the word El Reino? We thought of it at the beginning. It was difficult. We wagered in favor of using this as the title of the film, El Reino in Spanish, because it's something that's very difficult to change. You say, well, the government, and they spent 4 years there, or even quicker in some cases. But I think it trans something that we inherit. It shows it trans. Conveys that it's a system, really a system. It's difficult to change. At the end of the day, it's one of the ideas that we can extract from the film, is what it says, that the kings can fall, but the kingdoms will continue. So it's very difficult to make a kingdom collapse. That is to say, or a realm. That's the power of the word, or the idea behind the word in the title. I think it's very good, because how difficult it is to change the entire system where. Or the characters or the protagonists are dancing and walking by, and unfortunately or sadly or quite logically, that's the least important. Well, I think that's the least important of the issues. Yes, one final question over here. Yes, over there. Yes. Well, congratulations. I'm going to be as brief as I can. I coincide with Antonio that it's an issue of the evolution of species that we've got to be aware, really aware, overcoming egos and seeing where society is and where people are. The eternal debate between good and evil. They're not all the bad guys, and neither are we all the good guys. It's a reflection of society. But power is very skillful. Power is very smart, and it has... But power doesn't exist. The power has the human beings, no, but we've got it inside us. But they have the power to make the offense or the illegal or the crime as an excuse. And they've got the power to see what's right and what's wrong vis-a-vis how I control you through what is a crime. I control you through that sanction. The crime can be here today and tomorrow. It's not a crime. And what's a crime in Spain? Let's go to France, or let's go, or Luxembourg, and it's not a crime. So therefore, the powers that be decide what's a crime and what's not a crime. And that power is backing all of the white glove crimes, because these aren't too clearly typified. But if I rip off €1,500 and I do it again, I'll go to jail. Okay, you catch what I'm saying? So therefore, at a script level, which I loved it, but I've been fighting 10 years to make a documentary about penitence and going to jail, I'm missing the power that controls us and dominates us and brings about a lot of huge questions. But and others we don't even see. What's the question, please? You were going to make a... Yes. No, just congratulations. Thank you very much. I like the subject matter. But what's the question? We've got... No. Sorry, I went over time. Congratulations. Sorry, I went over. Thank you.